Jesus in the book of Leviticus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Because you are experts in the book of Leviticus, I maybe request your assistance and call you by name and answer some questions as we look. Tonight, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, in the book of Leviticus. Now, in these series of the Old Testament studies, there is a beginning of the studies that we call it a general information. And just for, again, reviewing the things, we can look in the Gospel of Luke. In the very last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and at least I want you to remember this, in chapter 24, in verse 44, what the Bible says. Jesus is explaining these to two people, and this is an overall information for you and me why we study Jesus in the Old Testament. And Jesus is just resurrected, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, coming down from 2,000 feet high, down to 1,000 feet, coming with these two people. And the Bible said in verse 44 that he said unto them, unto these two gentlemen, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And I think Luke 24:44, we find one clue why we look in the Old Testament for Jesus. Because Jesus actually said here that all the things that happened at Calvary were foretold in the Old Testament. And so he is very clear about it. And I want to compare that scripture with another scripture of the New Testament in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7. And for those who have been in study 1 and in study 2, you know what that scripture really says. The author of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and in verse 7, again, related to us and declaring to us that the entire Bible is concerning about Jesus. We read in Hebrews 10:7, then said I, lo, I come, and I like the King James translation, and today in our electronic concordance, we study that word book. And look at what the Bible said. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. So some Bibles carry in the volume of the scroll, which is will be an interpretation of what they have. They really have a scroll, and the word Biblios referred to book, but they really have a scroll. And so the Bible, as a general information tell us, remember I said this morning that you divide it in two. One is a testament, the New Testament, and the Old Testament. Both are testaments. And the Bible said the Old Testament is as good as the new one. It's talking about Jesus. But it's talking in a way that you have to really skill yourself and look into that passage carefully in order to interpret the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like to go into the real specific information tonight, which is in the book of Leviticus. Now, you know in Genesis, Jesus was the son of Jesus. In Genesis is a picture. Jesus is the son of the woman, the son of the woman. He blessed the women and said, you're going to have a son with pain as a symbol of how hard it is for our salvation. But then the serpent will be destroyed. So the son of the woman. In Exodus, remember, Jesus is the Passover lamb, according to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Now, we need to come to the book of Leviticus here and find something about Jesus. And I will suggest The book of Leviticus really has, I packed so much information that I better cut off some of the pages, otherwise we'd never leave tonight. I think there are two pictures in the book of Leviticus. And here it is. First, Jesus removed the wrath of God from us. And that will be 16 chapters of the book of Leviticus. This is what? What do you saw first in the book of Leviticus? What do you saw? As you saw? Sacrifices. One after the other. One after the other. And those sacrifices removed the wrath of God from us. And secondly, not only he removed the wrath of God from us, but from chapter 17 up, you saw a person coming up. And that was the high priest. And the high priest brings the presence of God to us. So here's the book of Leviticus in a nutshell. The book of Leviticus on the first 16 chapters really removed the wrath of God from us by the offering, and then from chapter 17 on brings the presence of God to us in the presence of the high priest. So we're going to look at Leviticus chapter 1 just as a picture of the review. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 1, "And the Lord called unto Moses, and he spoke unto him out of the tabernacle, and on the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock, and this offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." And he, and I like to make the emphasis today on verse 4. "And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement of him." Atonement means that God will accept that and his wrath is not involved. And so the first picture then is that Jesus in the book of Leviticus is reflecting to us, he removed the wrath of God for us by providing an offering. Here is a bullock. Now the question for you is this. Why, in verse 4 says, that you need to put a hand on the head of the bullock, and the priest will cut the head and sprinkle the blood. Why then we need to put the hand on it? To transfer. That's right. It's a symbol of transferring our life into the life of that bullock. It's a symbol saying, I should be here. But now this took my place. It's amazing that the Bible provides for us many examples of us of this in the New Testament. Let me make one mark in Leviticus so I don't have to look on it. And let's look to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. And you will see in the book of Ephesians remarkable numbers of circumstances where this is implied, that Jesus removed the wrath of God from us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, we read, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins," that's plural, "according to the riches of his grace." Now, we have the forgiveness of our sins. So that means God removed his wrath from us because of what? Our good works? No. Because our accomplishment in life? No. Because we are a member of a church that preaches the Bible? No. We have the forgiveness of our sin because of the blood of Christ. He has made accepted us in the Beloved. I mean, God accepted you and me, not because who we are, but because of Jesus who has spread his blood from us. That's exactly what that verse really says. Another verse will speak about this is 1 John in chapter 1. And in verse 7, it speak about the cleansing that we have before God. And in that takes all the offerings of the Old Testament and brings a narrow path to the Lord Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we got fellowship with one another. And look at it again. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, it looks very simple and very understandable. But there are many doctrines out of these that have been through the years a problem in the Christendom. One of them is that the blood has no significance whatsoever. They say, well, God doesn't, they mention the blood, but what he means is life. Because also the book of Leviticus chapter 11 said, life is in, remember what you studied? Or the blood. And so therefore, what he means here is life. Now, when the Bible means life, said life. When the Bible means love, blood, said blood. Now, let's get that straight. You cannot make the Bible say something that is not there. We study in the class the word book. And all the translations of the Bible start with Matthew 1:1 said, in the book, this is the book of the generations of the Lord Jesus. It said one. The New Revised Standard said, this is the account. So we look, we have the program to look quickly to find out if the word account is really the word to be used. We took the word biblios in the original and we went through the Bible and 307 verses there. And I tell you, none of the originals refer to the word book as an account. So I told the class what the translator had done is he took the liberty to say this is an account. And on the top of that, he did something bad. He took the word the, which is a determinate article, and he put an indeterminate article an. So this is one of the many accounts, like one member of the class said. And that's very dangerous. The Bible said this is the account. Although this is that book that tells you the account. So the same thing we hear when the Bible said the blood of Christ is the blood of Christ. Otherwise, the Old Testament will be completely void. See, you read there in 1 Corinthians, in Leviticus in chapter 1, in verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and he shall be accepted for him to make an atonement. See, and look at verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and the sprinkle of the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall fly the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the woods upon the fire. So in other words, the sprinkle of blood and the shedding of blood was the sign that God will remove his wrath from us. Now, look, the Bible makes a comment on this. In Hebrews in chapter 9, the Bible makes a clear comment about this as can be. In Hebrews 9 and in verse 5, the Bible makes a strong commentary about Leviticus chapter 1. It said, but Christ, it's at verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ being come a high priest and high priest of the good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, no made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And look at the commentary in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, said verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so the Bible clearly said, Ephesians 1, 7, 1 John 1 and verse 7, Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 14, the Bible said the sprinkling of blood of the Old Testament was actually a shadow, a picture of the sprinkling of the blood at Calvary cross. That's why blood came in. And so then we have a perfect picture. The book of Leviticus was written to give Israel and to give everybody an understanding that really peace with God is going to be obtained only through the sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice that God accepted, a sacrifice. So, and then you need to identify with the sacrifice. Now, how do we do that today? Nobody put the hand on the pulpit. Or what do we put the hands on it to identify? Because to make the picture clear, it has to be the same. A sacrifice need to be offered. Blood need to be sprinkled. But one person put the hands on the bullock. So how we do this today? Well, the book of Romans will help us a little bit here. In Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans really helps you and me to see that this is a very important fact of life. The fact that young people, the fact that your parents are believers and they have put their hands on their sacrifice doesn't mean that you are free from that. You need yourself to come in individually and put your hands in the sacrifice, and then the blood of Christ cleans you. How do we do that? Romans 10, may I start reading from verse 9, Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, mouth confession of the Lord Jesus is like putting the hand on the lamb or on the bullock. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich and to all that call upon him. And then God make a bold statement. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you cannot live all your life without calling the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can hear all the sermons you want to. You can come to church all the times you want to. You can participate in the choir and teach in Sunday school and teach a lesson and so on. But if you have not come to Jesus and say, save me, and confess to the church of God, listen, I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have no identify with the Lamb. You need to have that identification with the Lamb. And at a point in your life, you need to say, Pastor, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ took away my sins. I know. See, I cannot save you, and I cannot give you salvation. But God can, and he does through the preaching of God's word. And when that happens, you need to hold that salvation by confessing. And so it's right for you to say, Pastor, one of those days, I tell you. And then you come forward and say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how this happened, but somewhere, somehow, I got the clear picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I want to tell you and I want to tell this congregation that really I know the Lord Jesus. And make all of us glad, don't we, when we see people saved. Make all of us rejoice. But there is an identification. Somebody told me, and this is called hyper-Calvinism, somebody told me you can be saved and you never know it, and you die and you never know it. That's not possible. Because in the Old Testament, Israel was the people of God. God told them, you are my people. But still God's saying, you need to put your hand on the altar. You see that? In other words, Israel was God's selected people. But those who were saved in Israel need to have the faith to bring a bullock and put the hand on it. And the blood was sprinkled on their behalf. The same thing for us. Christ, he certainly died and sprinkled his blood. But it's not your blood until you said, I believe it. Somebody told me, it was a truck driver. He said, I maybe drive all the day long and do what I want to, but God saved me and I don't know it. Now, that's not true. That's not true. The salvation of God is not just something that God throws on the air and somebody catch it, put it in the pocket and go. No way. The salvation of God is something you know. Yes, Russ?
You can say you believe it, but you've got to believe it in your heart. You know that.
there. Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. See, you have not. Now, let me show you. There is a little short piece of the scripture that helps us. It's in Ephesians 2. And Paul is reminding the people of Israel about this. I want to have more time for the priest, but I think it's good to talk about this because somebody mentioned to me that I have not been careful to point to the people that need to be saved and give them an opportunity to be saved, and that's true. And I will be giving people opportunity to be saved, to be baptized, to be members of the church. And I want you to know that I want to exhort people to come to me and to say, Pastor, I'm saved now. Pastor, I want to be baptized. Pastor, because you need to identify. You cannot live a loose life. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, being aliens, you don't have anything to do with the commonwealth of Israel. And strangers from the covenant of the promise. You see that? God even said to Israel, at that time you were strangers. If you don't know God, you're a stranger to God. Like Russell has said, you're a stranger to God. But look at what the Bible says in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here's again the sacrifice. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself a twin one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them they were nigh. In other words, they were not automatically being believers. Somebody preached to them. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And so the first thing that we learn in the book of Leviticus is that indeed this book is a wonderful book. And it's talking about that God can remove his wrath from all of us. I don't know if you study today, Romans 1:16. I don't know what I recall. What that was it? Or double 15. Look at Romans 1:16-17. You will see something really drastic here. And when you see it, don't panic, because God has removed, has a way of removing his wrath. I want verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, or who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is there. But the wrath of God can be removed, can be entirely removed by accepting the sacrifice of God. He is the one who has provided the Son of God in lieu of the Lamb of the Old Testament. And so the sprinkling of blood, which you saw a lot in the book of Leviticus, and a lot with the cleansing of the women and all the, I mean, the book of Leviticus is a book that speaks about blood here and there. And the one to give a heavy picture, the blood is the only element that produces the cleansing before God. Then the book of Leviticus, as you remember, moves on to the high priest's office, and brings the attention to the high priest, and bring the attention that the high priest need to be the officer of the one who, in chapter 17 of the book of Leviticus, is when the high priest's office start coming. In other words, I want you to tell you, the book of Leviticus is part of the law. And the law said, here is the law of God. Nobody will be at peace with God unless first go through the offering. Secondly, nobody can enjoy the presence of God unless have a high priest. And look at it in chapter 17, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and saying then, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel, they kill an ox and a lamb and so on. And so it's given a rule. But now look at verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. Now, the Lord can say to Moses, you go and talk. But he didn't. He spoke to Aaron. You need to go back to in your mind to Exodus 28, when Aaron was nominated the high priest. God said to Moses, because Moses lied, so he cannot talk. So God said, okay, we're going to get your brother, and he will be the speaker, and he will be the high priest before me. And so when God needs to get something done, in the book of Leviticus, starting in chapter 17, all the things were done through Aaron. He was the high priest, and he is the one who represents God. Now, it is a shame that the Roman Catholic Church today understands the book of Leviticus so well and then brings the book of Leviticus into their practice, because they have a high priest, which is the Pope, and then they have the cardinals, and they have the bishops and the priests. And these people are there to intercede for you in the presence of heaven. Now, if the cross never happened, that was correct. You need to have an ecclesiastical body who takes your offering and bring it to God. But look, let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. And you will see that the picture in the book of Leviticus of the high priest was just a picture of the Lord Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15, the Bible give you a clear understanding why we do not have priests in the function of the Old Testament and the book of Leviticus. We read in Leviticus 4 in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, even the Bible go to that detail, a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the priests in the Old Testament, they never passed into the heaven. They passed in the first door, and then they passed the second door, and that's the end of the story. Now, but look at here. They said, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Then verse 15 explained, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. And so anybody who now have been through the sacrifice, his sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ, and now have peace with God. Now he can enjoy the presence of God because we have a high priest. Now, these justify our prayers in the name of Jesus. You may be wondering, why do we pray and finish our prayer in Jesus' name? You know why now? Because he is a high priest. Now, let's go to Ephesians 5:20. That's what Ephesians 5:20 really encouraged. Some people told me, well, I can leave my prayer. You know, they have a prayer chain, and then they leave, the person who pray leave that open, and they leave that open and open, and people are praying. As long as the last person closes in the name of Jesus, that will be okay. But see, you cannot pray in your own merits. You have to pray in the merits of the Lord Jesus. And when you eat, you have to do the same thing. Look at Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20 clearly said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. And here clearly say it, Ephesians 5:20, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why not in the name of Archangel Michael or Archangel Gabriel, who was good looking and announced the Lord? You know, why not in the name of the Archangel Gabriel? Why? Because Gabriel was an archangel, Michael was an archangel, but Jesus was the high priest. See? And now God fulfilled the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus said he do the sacrifice and that remove the wrath of God. Not just doing the sacrifice, putting your hands on the sacrifice. Young people, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God is still on you. But if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as a pastor, I believe, then you have peace with God. Now, you need the God's presence. How do you need it? You need a high priest. Who is it? The pastor? No. The high priest. Because we all priests, remember said the book of Revelation, we all priests. But you need a high priest is the one who is accepted. In Christ Jesus, the book of Hebrews we read just a few minutes ago, that he passed into heaven. And Christ Jesus is the high priest, and according to Ephesians, you pray always in his name. Now somebody asks you, where is Jesus? Then you go to Hebrews chapter 3, and he said, he's my high priest. And you remember in the book of Leviticus that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to pray and to bring the offering. And where is Jesus today? Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days, see, God count last days from the cross on, and look the plural, last days, all right, is spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being, verse 3, in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, that was the sacrifice, now the high priest come up, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In one verse you have both. You have the sacrifice, and you have the high priest. And the high priest in the book of Leviticus need to go to the Holy of Holies. And where is Jesus today? In the Holy of Holies. Not in the seven hills of Rome, but in the heavens of heavens. Oh, how wonderful it is. I tell you, we can go on and on. I better save all these papers. And if you ever want to have 20 or 30 pages on these, I give a copy to you. But I tell you, it just sounds so good. I want you to learn this. In the book of Leviticus, we have a lamb. And that lamb removes our sins when the blood is sprinkled and our hands is touched. The wrath of God is gone. But I need the presence of God. So God provide Aaron and his children to be the high priest so they can have the presence of God. Today, you don't have a man. You have the real one who is at the right hand of God. And the only thing you have to do is what I said this morning. Pray, believing, and leave it up to him. He will do things that you had no idea. I have been in a terrible crisis in the radio. And I need help. So I met with the man here in a restaurant. And we enjoyed the talk. And after that, I told him my heart. I told him what I thought about it. Went home, told my wife, everything's okay. Because in the morning, I wrote all the things. And as I said at the 4 o'clock class, you don't have to write this and drop it in a basket carefully. I said this morning, this is what I do. Now, I did it. I wrote all the difficulties and problems with this man, with the other, with this and this and this. Drop it in the basket. Went to that meeting with all my heart and my joy as fantastic. Left the meeting with joy, not knowing whatsoever is going to happen. The next day, I walked to the door of Family Radio in the back. Never go in the back, but the parking lots, every place was full. So as I went to the loading area, and we come in, and Mr. Camping was in the back. When he saw me, he opened the door. He said, the general is coming, and the queen. And he goes ahead, said, the general is coming, the general is coming. And I thought, something is really cuckoo here. And something is bad. To make the story short, I hold the policies of Family Radio in my hand, and the radio can be shut off in one day if I retrieve. So they have to make peace. I don't know if my wife and I want to make peace unless things are corrected. See, corrected in a wholesome way. But you know, again, I don't have to make a decision. God has prepared the whole setup in a way that I'm no wonder. Now my wife, I understand, no wonder people were coming in. Every time we were there, said, we are looking to you. He said, yeah, hey, look, it's good looking, eh? Looks good. He said, what do you want? He said, no, he said, we're looking to you and your wife. I said, oh, we're here, we're here, all right. We come the other day, he said, oh, you're here, well, thank God you're here. I said, why these people worry about us being here? They did a dinner for my birthday ahead. And, oh, you have to see how wonderful, oh, you're here, you're here. And I said, I wonder what's going on. Until some member of the board informed me that we need to have peace because radio works with four licenses that happen to be in my hand. And I never thought about it. You know, I study, get license, diplomas, and throw that away. But they're using that to operate. And the radio depends on each one of them because they have a guarantee of 29 years behind radio. And the radio operates by the FCC and the University of California. He said, you are the man. You are the heart. Remember they told us? You are the heart of the radio. Oh, no, no, me. It says Mr. Campy with his program. No, no, no. You are the heart. I said, oh, this, come on, get out of here. Bring chocolate cake and get out. And but I really put the whole story in the hands of God, the high priest. And I say, Jesus, you take it over. I just want to walk. If they kick me out, go to my little Honda and go home. You know, I have a little tiny church that is just remarkable. And God's going to do miracles, believe me. If I take a stand exactly as God said, and I told him, I want to take my time now. I want to take a real time to think the whole structure together. I never thought I was anything in the radio. Happened to be now, I'm the person. I said, oh, it's hard to be in that way. But I tell you, I have peace in the heart that whatever God said, that's what we have to do. But I say in this with encouragement, throw yourself into the hands of the high priest. Be sure you have your hand on that lamb one day in the past. Be sure you're a child of God. Not because your father did it, not because you've been baptized, because you really said, Jesus, I believe you died for me. And if you have done this, then go to the high priest. He's there 24 hours a day. He's not in Rome, he's in heaven. Like Solomon said, in the heavens of heavens of heavens. May God bless us. And I want to encourage you. The book of Leviticus, after all, when you take it in a nutshell, really is good. And you've been through the details and through the hassles, and I know some of the lessons were really something. My wife said, why you get that book? Because at the end, when we make a really look into the book and make a nutshell of the book, it's going to be good. There was an offering because the wrath of God was there. And there is a priest who said, what do you want? We have it made. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. He was the offering and he is the offering. And he was the high priest and he is the high priest. And the Bible says at the right hand of God, God, we have no pray with believing heart. That's why we got trouble. Help us to trust the high priest and to bring into his presence our burdens. Oh God, we live in a troubled and difficult world. Each one of us has a wall of its own. But as I told Daniel, trust the Lord. He's ahead of us. He's a high priest. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Yeah, amen.